All right, good morning. I'll call the order of the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, December 13th, 2016, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Good morning. First item on our agenda, as always, is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to address topics that are on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so? Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to a presentation from United Way of Story County regarding the Clear Impact Scorecard.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Board. I've asked Shannon Bartle from United Way of Story County to come and present on an initiative that they are recently involved with, and we're hoping that it's a tool that funders will be able to use in the asset process if we choose to participate in it. So with that, I'll go ahead and just turn it over to Shannon, and she'll walk through a quick PowerPoint, and you can answer any questions.
Hi, thanks for having me here today. I just want to start with a little bit of background of why we came to the decision of this particular tool and then share that tool with you just a little bit so you've got an idea of the functionality. About a year ago, our board developed work teams, one within the area of education, income, and health. And they spent probably the next 6 months or so really looking at the needs of the community and what our priorities ought to be moving forward, and then how might we track that progress as we move forward. So a little bit more results-based accountability then. Over the summer, we got some input then from our partner agencies, because if we're going to really ask them to be measuring different aspects of their programs, it was really important to get their input, their buy-in on that process. This month, next week, we're taking our list of performance measures then that the agencies helped us to define to our board of directors for approval. Once they have fully approved that, we'll be able to start building these scorecards out, which I'll show you in just a moment. We'll be training the agencies then how to use this program. They're going to start entering data, and then beginning July 1, it will be in our agency's annual agreement for them to annually or whatever our time frame is that they'll be reporting to actually put the measurements and data into the scorecard. So we're looking at a July rollout date solidly. So I'm going to use a little bit of language here that I want to define just so you know what I'm talking about as I explain the scorecard to you. So results are the conditions of well-being that we want for the community as a whole. So, for example, what's in red here on the screen is our income results. So our income work team said individuals and families achieve financial stability. Pretty broad definition there. So some of the indicators then would be how we measure these conditions. We're looking at the population level indicators, what's going to show that we're making progress towards individuals and families achieving financial stability. So we looked at the percentage of households below the federal poverty level. That's, of course, data that we get from the census, not something that we can directly impact, but data that we have got access to. So then strategies are what works to improve these conditions. And as we met with our agencies, one of the strategies they felt like was going to really make a difference was that everyone would have access to basic needs. So then the performance measures are how we know that the agencies and these programs are working. So if you're familiar with the asset budget forms, ABF 5.0 are the outcomes, and this is what asset then would call an outcome. So an outcome then for, or a performance measure then for access to basic needs would be the percentage of shelter and transitional living clients that have gained access to permanent housing. So that just kind of gives you an example then of the language moving forward. What I wanted to really show you though is a little bit about this program, how it works, how it's going to be beneficial for funders, how it'll be beneficial for agencies. So as you take a look at this, on the far right hand, top right corner, you'll see a little R in a little green box. The R means result. The I underneath of it means indicators. So these are some of the results and indicators then that the board set up. Under each indicator, there's a little plus sign, I guess, right beside it. You can click on that plus sign, and when you do that, you get this fancy little chart like is shown up there, and that's for every indicator. That will be for every performance measure. So to look at the columns then on the right-hand side, the four columns there, there's the time period. These are our yearly measures. However, we're going to be able to set the measure to whatever we want it to be. If it makes sense for, say, like a food pantry where we want to look at a monthly measure, we can set it at monthly. Some things make sense to measure quarterly or every half year. This one in particular is percentage of third graders reading proficiently, so that's something that's only measured once a year. So we are able to customize that. It shows then the actual value where we're at. The current trend, you'll see some arrows and a number. So if there's a green arrow, it means that we're trending in the right direction. If there's a red arrow, we're going in the wrong direction. Up isn't always the right direction. If, for example, we wanted to impact teen smoking, we would want that number to go down. So green and red simply indicates right or wrong. And then the number there is for how many time periods we've been trending in that particular direction. And then the last column there shows baseline change. So compared to the very first number that was input, how are we doing? So this particular chart shows we're at 3% in the right direction from the very first number that we've entered.
Looks like there's a comment there on the 84.5, and I know this is not the day for us to go into detail, but I'm curious. So
sure. So we're able to input comments in there, so if something changed, we can make a note of what that is. So that particular comment is that that's when Iowa Reading Corps was brought into Story County Schools. So we hope that with that initiative in place that we would continue to see those numbers going up, which we do. So that's just another functionality of the program that we can show where different things are happening and put whatever sorts of comments in there that we like.
Okay, thank you.
So another functionality that I wanted to show you, this one shows kind of then the program is the P in the blue square, and then performance measure is in the red square. And on that little red square, you see a little bitty green dot. And what that means is that we've aggregated some data. So this shows food pantries. It's not going to make sense for us to show what Micah Food Pantry is doing and what Salvation Army Food Pantry is doing. We want to see what all the food pantries are doing. So we can actually take the data. Each of those pantries can enter their own data in on the back end of this website. But then what we can take and show to the public is the aggregate data. So you can see then underneath of that chart, there's a partners tab that's opened up, so we can even list the partners that are adding to that aggregated data there.
Yeah, I'm real happy to see that because my mind was taking me through when you started. A lot of this information is what Micah does for the service area, and I see out here now that, you know, there are things that are there, and I think this collaboration, by and large, should be more inclusive for all of Story County as we dig further into trying to look at the level of people that either are being served and those potentially who need to be served that could be eligible for service that we maybe have not identified as yet as we go forward. And so this is a program that I think is certainly fits the mission that MICA has for our area.
Absolutely. And so as United Way of Story County, we do serve the full county. So we are looking at measurements all across the whole county, not just Ames, where our office is. The last thing I want to show you is what a program might look in here, and this is where I think it could be beneficial for asset down the road, so where there's all the different forms that the agencies fill out in terms of, and I guess I'm thinking specifically then of the ABF 5.0, again, the outcomes page where they list, you know, what is the program about, how many people are we serving, all those kinds of things. This could just about replace that. So there's a place that we can tell the story and show the data at the same time, and I think that's one of the unique things about this particular program. We can see the data. I know a lot of us really like those hard numbers, but it's really nice to see the story that goes behind those numbers. This program, for example, is the Wheels for Work program, where folks are able to apply for and receive a donated vehicle. And so you can see we've got some data up there at the top, but then at the bottom, We're able to talk about what the program does. This particular one, we've been able to embed a video in there. This particular scorecard was so long, I had to split it into two slides so we can talk about who do we serve, who's our partners, how are we making an impact, and we can actually tell some of those stories. So, yes, we can say we know that a certain percentage of folks are still at the same job, which means, you know, they're more likely to be earning higher income because they've been at a place for a longer period of time. But within that, how we impact, we can talk about, the mom who says, well, my kid was able to participate in extracurricular activities because I can get them to and from school, and we just can't really show that within just the data points. So this is a really great program that's going to allow us to see the data and the story behind the curve all in one shot. So as we look forward, right now United Way has purchased all of the licenses that we need for all of our agencies. We currently have purchased 33 licenses. Because we have got a relationship with Campaign for Grade Level Reading, we were able to purchase all of those licenses at a 50% discount. That is anticipated to continue for the foreseeable future, according to Clear Impact Scorecard. But we have purchased all of those licenses right now for all of the agencies. So as we move forward, if this is a direction that ASSET would like to go, if there's any possibilities for partnership in terms of perhaps sharing the cost of the actual program.
What is the cost for each license?
$285, and that's the discounted. So it's whatever double that is, sorry, not a math major, 500 something for the full one. We are not able to purchase any more licenses at the 50% off rate. We had to purchase all of those at once. So anything moving forward would be at the full rate. We have not accounted for each one of those licenses. We have two or three maybe that are not accounted for yet, not assigned to an agency yet. You might think 33, does that actually cover all of the agencies? Because I believe there are maybe 30 or 31 in the ASSET process. I have one. We have some earmarked for libraries. But there are a couple of our partner agencies who also partner with United Way of Central Iowa. And this is a program that they've been utilizing for a number of years. And there's a way that we can connect through that system. So if, for example, Camp Fire already has a license, we're going to be able to connect with their license that they already utilize through Central Iowa, and we don't have to pay for a separate one. So we're going to have a little bit more reach with the licenses we do have because we can connect with them.
How long is a license good for?
A year. And we made the investment in July, so it's based on our fiscal year when the next renewal will come up.
But when we renew the 33 that we have, we'll renew them at the reduced rate. It's anything additional that we would not get the reduced rate.
Correct. Yep.
And we believe that's in perpetuity. I mean, understanding that there will be some cost changes down the road, but we don't think there's going to come a point that they're going to shift that half price all the way up to full price on the ones that you've already bought.
That is our belief at this time, yes, based on what Clear Impact Scorecard has told us.
Okay. So this is not a decision-making meeting. This is no formal request to the Board of Supervisors to be a partner. I would simply say this. It seems to me that as if and as a request is built, it would make perfect sense to me that if the funders collectively and ASSET as an entity decide that this is the right mechanism for them to go to, that they want to require this of all the agencies that they're funding, that we build that in to what our funding model is for them. And that would mean, if you do that, that we would all share in the cost of that $285 or the $570 to fund that each year in order to get the report that we need. To me, that might make the most sense as a proposal if you guys come forward with a proposal.
Absolutely. And like you said, at this point, we're certainly not there, but we're definitely going to get this piloted. We know that human services is just this little bitty piece of what you guys do, but it's really all we do, and we felt like it was really our responsibility to take the leadership on this. We're going to get it piloted. We're going to show you that this is really a good system that's going to help to report to any of the constituents within the county, our donors, the agencies, their clients, and really show show that this is really a good valid tool that's going to help us all to better understand where we're at with outcomes. And then hopefully at that point, you'll see some value in that and we can move forward with the partnership.
Any thoughts been given at this point as to what of this information will be available to the public at large? Will this be more of an internal tool as you view it for asset and the funders to look at? Or are you viewing this as a community report card that would be able to be viewed at least in part by the public?
Probably some of both. We've got the capability of the scorecards here that I show you. We can take the link out of here, embed this onto our website, or share that link with any of you folks if you would want to embed it on your website, and we can make that available to the public. I don't know if it's going to make sense that everything is available to the public. I mean, obviously, we're going to share just the aggregated data. We're probably not going to share every individual program because, as you know, there are over 90 programs funded through the asset process, and all of those have got multiple measures they're looking at. So that's a lot of information to get bogged down with. I think what we might do is pick and choose what we share with the public, but it will be available to the public, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, we have a collaboration network of groups that meet quarterly, what have you. You know, I think there are agencies out there where being able to share this type of information would be very helpful, because there are other agencies that are always working and looking at, you know, how do we serve and assist those who need assistance through various types of programs. And so where that information could be helpful, I think if we had a way to reach out to them, or that they could request to receive some of this data to help them in their decision-making process, would be very appropriate.
Absolutely. And I think that it's going to be really great for agencies as they're working on grant requests, because we know that certainly they're getting all kinds of funding from different places. But if they can use some of the county level data that we've already done the legwork for, they're going to be more successful in receiving additional funds from other funders as well.
And I think it's something we could also post on the ASCA website. Mm-hmm. We have that some information under already, so I think this would be in addition to that.
Perfect. Marty, anything?
No, I'd just like to say, you know, I look at the educational component there, and I know all the school districts ache to raise their reading proficiency scores, because it usually is a indicator on academic success on a going forward basis. And I know in Nevada they've had a willing and vigorous partner in you guys, and we have our success. We'll be entering our fourth year here this summer, mm-hmm. and we have had families here that have been rightly made better by the efforts your agency has provided. So thank you.
Well, Keith, I like the idea of being able to track it, and I like that you're going to include some anecdotal evidence to go along with the empirical evidence. Laura, you had something.
And if you're looking at replacing the AB5 on the form, and then, of course, that would be reported as a public document, but also will the narrative reports from the asset volunteers then go into this, the merged or melded with this?
That is just down the road. I don't know. At this point, it would make a lot of sense that the way that agencies can report into here, that could be a part of that. Mid-year reports could be done through here. How asset would utilize this moving forward, I don't know. But this system has got so much capability. I was sharing this with one of our agencies last week, and every time I showed them something else, they oohed and aahed over it, and they said, well, can we do this? Can we do this? I said, whatever you think the system might be able to do, it probably can. So there may be ways that it could be utilized by asset volunteers for that.
We definitely want the agency's buy-in, because they're the ones providing the information. And that's what I think is a beauty to this tool, is right now when asset gets the information on the outcomes, we get it in a couple of ways. One is through the budget request, and that's once a year. And the other way is through the mid-year report, which is due December 15th of each year. And so this, though, would give the whole picture. And I think it would be something that agencies could be inputting information on a regular basis, versus having to fill out a form, you know, once or twice a year to provide the information. This is just a perfect snapshot. And I think more helpful data to the funders and to the public as far as what's going on with services and planning and funding for future services.
And this is not meant as a case management tool. This is not tracking individuals' data. This is really looking at that program data at a snapshot. So it's definitely that level that I think that the asset funders are looking for.
Outstanding. Anything else?
No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Next is consideration of minutes from December 6th.
Move approval.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any additions, notations, corrections? Clinton.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes passed. Personnel actions as listed there, Board.
Move approval to approve the personnel actions.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Discussion. Chee.
Aye.
Clinton. You aye?
Aye. I'm sorry.
Sanders. All right. Sanders. Aye. consideration of claims.
Move approval as submitted. I like the fact that it's under that million.
I would second that thought.
Clint.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims passed. Consent agenda, Board, please add road closure 1728 and utility permit 17051 through 17054.
I would move adoption of the consent agenda with the aforementioned additions.
Second.
Chee.
Aye.
Clint.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items today. So additional items, discussion consideration of Tuesday, December 27th for the Board of Supervisors as a claims-only meeting. We can, as far as you guys want to go, I've asked that we put this on as a claims-only. Wayne will be out of town on the 27th. I think it's appropriate that we hold anything that would come before us on the 27th for our next meeting on January 3rd. But that is a claims week, so we do have to get together.
No problem.
So that requires a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Clinton.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. December 27th will be claims only, John. So you don't need to come over for the two-minute meeting. Next item is discussion and consideration of an unbudgeted purchase of firearms and associated equipment, i.e. holsters and the like. And we're not even going to say who it's from. You can fill us in on that, Sheriff, for $30,911. Let's see, as they walk, I think this is a study that the Sheriff commissioned months ago, and in the last 6 weeks or so, I was invited to come out to the firing range and take a look at the work that had been done. My perspective is I found it to be really thoughtful and comprehensive in looking at everything, and suggested that this item get before the Board sooner rather than later so that we could consider it.
Thank you very much. I'm entering, just about to enter my 25th year as sheriff, and when I began, one of the things we had was some outdated firearms. So I put together a study group, much like we did here, had a representative from the Board of Supervisors back then, Fred Matheson, and some firearms people who are, we considered experts, and then some who are non-experts. And they went through and looked at the weapons, ammunition, and accessories for those weapons to get what we felt we needed. And we went ahead, and that's when we started purchasing the Sig Sauers. And then 10 years after that, we reconvened another committee study group, and so we updated the weapons at that time. And now it's been 14 years, and talking about this issue with my staff, it's time that we needed to do this. As Sergeant Lennon talked about, we started to see more malfunctions on the range, more misfires, things of this nature. So anyway, we felt this was an urgent enough matter, especially with considerations of things going across the entire United States the last year or two. So with that, Sergeant Lenny is here to answer any questions specifically about putting together the weapons requested and accessories, and we'll open this up to turn it back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Well, so I would ask, Nick, take us through the process that the group used, the different firearms, weapons, and manufacturers that you guys looked at, some of the inherent issues that we have today, different platforms, the ability to add accessories to the things we have, just so that the Board hears everything.
Okay, thank you. Well, to start out with, we identified three weapons that we wanted to obtain and test fire. And so we reached out to Smith & Wesson, Glock, and Sig Sauer, and requested a few of their different platforms, common platforms that are used in law enforcement across the country today. That included mainly two different caliber sizes of ammunition, 9mm and 40 caliber. We currently use 40 caliber. There have been some recent studies done on the 9mm round that indicated the ballistics, you know, are about equivalent to a 40, so we wanted to consider that as well in our testing. We did test all of those weapons. We had our in-service firearms that consists of all of our patrol personnel, our ERT, special response team that we have, and a few correction officers and supervisors. And when we went through that test, we let them fire each gun that we got, including the guns we currently have, and just asked them to focus on, you know, the accuracy of the gun, how the grip felt to them, how the sight alignment was for them, the trigger pull, the magazine capacity. We wanted them to rate each gun and kind of compare it to what we currently have and weigh in on their, you know, what they felt were advantages and disadvantages. At the conclusion of our month-long in-service training with all those weapons, a large majority of the folks that shot the guns came back liking the 6-Hour P320 model. It's a 40 caliber weapon and it's a full-size weapon. A little bit longer barrel than what we currently carry today. This gun had a handful of advantages to it. The first and foremost one that I would bring up is the accuracy. We saw accuracy rates really climb with this gun, and I think that's attributed to the grip modules they put on them, the consistent trigger pull, the little bit longer barrel that's on them, which leads into some of the other advantages. With this new platform, it allows you to change out your grip modules. So essentially what I mean by that is the size of the grip that your hand is hanging on to. And you can have a small, medium, or large. Currently, most guns and the gun that we currently have just leaves you with one size grip, which may fit a guy like me just fine, but we have smaller stature women, you know, as deputies and in our corrections that have small hands or even smaller guys that cannot quite grip that gun the same way, and therefore their trigger pull is not consistent and not reaching it. So you can easily change out the grip modules within like less than a minute. The guns are also completely ambidextrous, meaning all the functions for the gun can be switched over to release the magazine, to drop the slide, to release the slide lock lever. All those can be done left-handed. It's a simple one-minute procedure to change out that magazine release button to make it ambidextrous. The other guns we tested and the current gun we have now does not allow that. So it makes it very difficult for a left-handed shooter to manipulate that weapon efficiently. So that was another advantage. Another advantage to this platform was for the same caliber sized weapon, we're getting two more rounds capacity in the magazine. So currently we have a 12 round capacity magazine. These offer 14 rounds. And I'm sure there's other little advantages to it. We are getting rid of the part of manipulating the gun where you have to decock the hammer. That'll be gone, so it's a simpler platform to use as well for all of our shooters. So we did that testing. Like I said, the SIG 320 full size was highly recommended, came back, and this is the weapon that we recommended as a committee. And as we met with you, Chairman, out at the range and shot them all, you know, it continues to be the one that everybody liked and asked us to recommend. So that's what I came forward to the sheriff with that weapon, and is what brought us here today. We did, through our SIG Sauer representative, reached out to Strikers on the guns, and included with your handouts there will be the sales quote from Strikers showing the cost of the new guns as well as the trade-in allowance that they're offering to us for our current guns, which largely offsets the purchase price of the guns. And, of course, with a new platform, the new platform does not work with the current holsters that we have, so it'll require purchase of new holsters with the addition of weapon lights and some extra magazines for the guns. And if you have any specific questions to the invoice, I'd be happy to.
So before we get there, talk just a minute, because it resonated with me. Talk just a minute about the ability to equip this gun with some of the features. Light, I'm thinking of the light specifically. Sure. Talk about what's done now and what it would mean as we move forward this and clearly invest a substantial amount of dollars in our patrol officers having those lights on the end of the gun.
Yeah, having a light mounted on the gun to me is a huge having it on there is a tactical advantage. Increases the officer's safety greatly. Currently, doesn't matter what shift you work. I currently work day shift, but you know, when I go into a building, if I get an alarm call at a house or something's happened at a building and I need to go in and clear that building, it's often dark in that building or I'm coming from the outside. And it's routine when you're clearing a building after a burglary call or some call like that, you're clearing it with your weapon out. So to do that, currently we have a weapon in one hand, we have our flashlight in the other hand, and that leaves you no hands to do anything else throughout that whole building. So if you need to walk through the building, open doors, check cabinets, under counters, use that other hand for balance, use that other hand from an attack to protect you, you don't really have that free like you normally would. So having the addition of a light on your weapon completely frees up your support hand to do whatever function it may need to do. And like I said, officer safety wise, I think it's a great addition.
Anecdotally, that you guys shared with me that some of our officers have taken to taping the flashlight to the end of their left arm so that they can have a hand free and still have a light. I found that as fascinating. Mm-hmm. We were asking our officers to jerry-rig something like that that so greatly impacts their safety. Let's see, I'll go through the quote here so that everybody has access to it, but so that we're all speaking the same language. We're talking about spending a total of $36,380 on the firearms themselves, but we're getting a trade-in on our existing guns of $29,750. So roughly just over $7,000 in cost for the firearms. But then you go down, we're spending about $6,000 on the holsters. We're spending $11,500 on these lights that we're talking about to equip. How many are we equipping there?
We're equipping 46. We didn't see the need to equip our corrections officers. They're working primarily indoors and probably would not need to be outfitted.
So equipping those that might be out on a call.
That's correct.
That requires a special holster, right? So
you've got
to buy a different holster for those that are equipped with the light than those that are not.
That is correct.
May I ask, did Conservation and Park Rangers talk at all to you about this and whether or not they would be able to piggyback on this type of weaponry?
We hadn't had any conversations with them. You know, it's something certainly that I assume they would be interested in. I believe they are on the same SIG platform that we're currently on.
I was thinking they were.
But they would definitely benefit, just as we would, because they are out doing a lot of the same things.
Thanks, Wayne. Question, Marty?
Good presentation, Nick. The memo lays it out pretty well. I don't see sidearms being anything different than a vehicle or uniform they wear. I had some conversations with some CCW people about that, and I was talking about that they were always asking, what are you guys looking to get? And they said, did they ever look at a 45 ACP pistol? And I said, I don't know. I will ask.
Yeah.
So you want to speak to that so I can go back to my coffee group and tell them why you didn't look at a 45?
Well, we did not test any 45s. Before asking for the guns, we've considered all the calibers. Like I said, we currently have 40, and we have an amount of 40 caliber in our armory now that we use. The 9 and the 40 is a very common caliber that law enforcement uses. One disadvantage, I would say, maybe to a 45, is your magazine capacity is going to be less on that style of weapon, as well as the kickback and the recoil makes it a harder gun for your follow-up shots, which to some people is an issue and to some is not. And I forgot to mention, I appreciate you bringing up the wear and tear. That's really the main thing that I started noticing over the last couple of years with our guns aging is the malfunctions that we're seeing on the range. And you know, ideally, you don't want to see a gun malfunction once, right? You're trusting your life to this piece of equipment, and it starts malfunctioning once, twice, three times on you, and all of a sudden you have guys not confident in their weapon systems that's there to protect not only our lives, but the citizens that we're here to protect. So, I think that's a priority probably for all of us is the safety of everybody and the reliability.
Well, as the sheriff said, it's been 14 years since the last time we looked at this.
It's much like when you're talking to car people. One likes Ford, one likes Chevy, and that's why you have so many different types of weapons we looked at. And we looked at the caliber along with the weapon, and I feel very strongly support and fully endorse one of the committee's recommendations to the direction we're going.
So I'm a complete amateur, right? And I went out and I believe I fired all nine,
yep,
including the one that you guys currently carry. That's not fired. And there is absolutely, even for a complete, you know, novice like me, there is absolutely a difference in the feel of this firearm compared to the others. So, Sheriff and I, as I'm wont to do, talked a little about budget and money and how we would do something like this. We're really, really fortunate. I hope everybody recognizes that we have a sheriff in place who does a great job of really watching the dollars and cents that are appropriated on the sheriff's behalf every year. In fact, I can't recall a year that I've been sitting here that you haven't had dollars to turn back in at the end of the year due to your outstanding fiscal management. However, we need to note that this is beyond, outside our budgetary process. So the conversation that the sheriff and I had is, if this board were to approve this purchase, I believe this board also needs to recognize that it may, in fact, while it doesn't today mean an insertion of these funds, because we're going to wait and see what the budget looks like in the spring, it may, in fact, mean that. And we need to recognize that when we get to the spring, whatever we do with those funds, there's really an extra $30,000 in there that the sheriff would not have spent had the board not approved this purchase. So I'm trying to give full credit where credit is due, but just note that this would not entail an immediate influx of new dollars to the sheriff's budget, but it could very well mean that later in the spring, depending on where things are going with the budget. Other thoughts, questions, or action?
Well, after 14 years, we've waited this long. I think I have comfort in accepting this, and I do, with a hat tip to the budgeting process, which we were about to jump off into. But I think that you come with a story that bears supporting, and I would move to approve it.
I will second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Sheriff, any other comments before we take action?
No, thank you for your consideration.
No.
Absolutely.
Thank
Chief.
You. Aye.
Clint?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Thank you, guys. Nick, good job.
Thanks.
Next item is discussion and consideration of Heartland Senior Services' request to reassign FY17 funds from Congress Good Meals to Home Delivered Meals in the amount of $14,901. Bill.
All right. Heartland Senior Services has been working with Mary Greeley Medical Center on an effort to consolidate funds and or programming. And what they have come up with is having Mary Greeley prepare all of the meals for their home-delivered meals, since they have the kitchen facilities and the expertise to do that. And then what Heartland would do is recruit volunteers and train volunteers to deliver those meals. And this would be county-wide. The difference being that before, when Mary Greeley would do home-delivered meals, it was just for within the city of Ames. But now with this new partnership that is going to go into effect January 1st, this would be done countywide. So Heartland would be looking at volunteers within the city of Ames as well as the volunteers that would deliver the meals to folks out in the outlying communities. So we really think that this is a good partnership. It's heading in the right direction. And what Heartland has seen happen over the years is a decline in the participation in congregate meals. They used to have meal sites all throughout the county. They're down to one site now as of July 1st, and that site is in Ames.
And what would you attribute to that, the overall decline? Was it just?
Well, we asked Nancy Carroll to expand on that. She believes that people are finding, a lot of people would use that maybe as a social time,
right,
but they're finding other ways to occupy their social time, or they're wanting the meals delivered home, and they don't want to have to worry about transportation to a meal site or saying they're going to participate and then they don't, and then that throws numbers and meals off for the congregate site. It's just a trend, Nancy said, is actually happening nationwide, not just here in Story County and not just in Iowa, but nationwide. So they really did want to meet the demand of home-delivered meals, and they felt that they could then make requests to the funders to reassign those dollars from congregate meals to the mobile meals or home delivered meals.
Now, I couldn't volunteer to Mary Greeley to be a taster, could I?
Well, I am sure that they would be open to considering that way. You could also deliver meals too then.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
So a couple of things. One, I want to commend Mary Greeley and Heartland for getting together, because this partnership just makes sense. Rather than each of them trying to do the whole thing, why don't they handle what their expertise and infrastructure allows and partner together to do this. Second thing that I want to note is, This was really a fundamental change about 5 years ago in the way the senior meals program was viewed at the state level and at the federal level, and it really made a shift, as Deb noted, from having a very strong social component and a very real need to get our seniors out into the community, mingling together, and the value there. And it truly changed to more of a nutritional program rather than having that social component. And I think we're seeing the results of that now. If it's just a nutritional program, there's not the reason to gather that there used to be. I think it's unfortunate that that's what it's moved to, because I think we're missing something. I think some of the conversations that we're having now about a healthy life center spawned from some of this. We need to find reasons and the place to gather our seniors more readily. But it's the reality that we face now. And I believe that this is the best way we can move forward. I believe that these funds were originally allocated in order to provide the nutritional value to our seniors. And if we're finding that one way is growing and the other way is shrinking, I think it just makes sense that we would shift those dollars around to accommodate it. With that, thoughts of the board, questions of Deb?
Well, this request is consistent with what we've had from various agencies throughout the asset process when it came time to looking at whether or not it would be better to reallocate funds for different purposes. So I certainly think the background analysis is very evident. And I know some of the agencies that HRDA serves that also have the congregate meals in a couple of the three counties that do provide this, they too are having similar challenges in the same particular area, so I can understand that.
All I would say is that a move out of the county in another career, you do go to the people's homes that do have the transportation issues, they have the health component, that in conjunction they find themselves doing without anything that would step out into this. Here in Nevada, you have seen churches step up. You have seen the senior citizens and the city combine to create a senior citizens. You know, we have the ability through the numbers and the dollars to make that provision. The need exists out there. This is small dollars. This is a great benefit. I have been at the doorstep. Well, meals have been delivered, and I can't tell you the joy of finding people knowing that today they eat. Mm-hmm. A hot meal. And you have to see that as once, and you realize we should be doing this.
And one thing I want to add to when we talk about the congregate meals, one of the things that had been happening when people would participate in that setting is the meal site director would know the individuals and would kind of be that set of eyes in determining how things were going and in talking with those individuals. What Nancy Carroll has said that's being replaced with is when the volunteer delivers the meal, they're kind of going to be the eyes and ears and see how that person's doing. And then if they have any concerns or think that Heartland should know something about this person they delivered the meal to, they would go back and talk to the outreach specialist. And then that outreach specialist would contact the individual and just do some follow-up. Maybe it's a visit, maybe it's just a phone call, but just double-check and see how that individual is doing. So that's kind of what that's going to be replaced with. And we, the county, provide the dollars for the outreach service as well. And I think that that serves that capacity and that need. And without doing a lot of intruding on the person's personal business, but yet trying to keep an eye on what's going on so that things don't fall so much by the wayside that it turns into a crisis or a bigger problem.
Yeah, we're counting on a lot from these people that are delivering the meals. I think Marty absolutely correctly points out, as you've been at the door in your other capacity, when you see these meals delivered, these people are come to the door and they're excited because they're getting a hot meal. I would submit that they're also excited because that may be their lone contact for the day. This is a vital, vital service. I am one of those that's really, really disappointed that we've lost the social component and the outreach component that went with the congregate meal sites. But it is clearly a system that is on the wane. I mean, we're down to one, and you can see a scenario where it's going to reduce rather than grow depending on where we go with a healthy life center. I hate that we've lost it. But the reality is, it appears we've lost it. We've got to find a way to respond with the reality on the ground, and I think this is the best way we've got in front of us to do that.
Right. And I also
want to
go ahead.
Help me understand now, the reallocation of these dollars actually goes towards Mary Greeley or to Mary Greeley from the preparing the meals. Is that what we're doing?
The request is so
it's reassigned $10,000, okay.
Well, it's reassigning, and you're bringing up a really good point, because there were two parts of the request from Heartland to the county.
Right.
The first part was to reassign $10,000 in county asset funds. So those are public health funds that were allocated to Mary Greeley Medical Center for home-delivered meals.
Okay.
And we can't allocate those dollars to Heartland because those are state public public health dollars that funnel through the county, and it has to go to our public health agency. So we can't reassign the $10,000. What we can consider reassigning is the general fund dollars of $14,700 and the local option dollars of $201. Those are already allocated to Heartland for congregate meals. They're just asking that to be taken from congregate meals and reassigned to home delivery.
Absolutely. Because the $10,000 that we can't reassign is really between Mary Greeley and Heartland and their partnership, how they're going to make all of that work.
Right.
Now that Mary Greeley has moved fully and completely into the creation of the meals, and Heartland is adopting fully and completely the delivery of the meals.
Exactly, yes. Right. And I explained that that funding situation with both Nancy Carroll and Kyle Brees as Mary Greeley Public Health, and they understood that, and they didn't change the request at all, but understood.
Okay, and that's between those two entities to work out how that works. That's not something that we're going to weigh in on.
Right?
Exactly.
So this is becoming countywide. How's the identification of the people that might necessarily want this service to be made? Where's the outreach? You know, I don't.
Yep. Heartland does the outreach, and it's also done by referral. You know, they might have individuals that are coming in to adult day services that they might identify if they aren't already receiving that service. They'll have families that call. I mean, Heartland Senior Services is our senior provider of senior services for the county. And so there can be a variety of ways that a referral can come their way, whether it's somebody who's coming out of the hospital, a family member, somebody who's already in maybe one aspect of Heartland's services and they're needing more. So a variety of ways that those referrals can be made and received.
So if there's any questions, the contact is Heartland itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good. Other questions or action?
Yep, I would just move approval of the reassignment of the FY17 funds from congregate meals to home delivered meals in the amount of $14,901, which comes from the general basic and the local option.
Second that.
Motion and second. Further discussion. Clint?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Deb, thanks.
Thank you, Deb.
We'll stick with Deb and change the conversation to a full blown asset conversation.
Okay, we have received the budget requests from all of the agencies. I'm going to try and put this up here for the benefit of our audience. And I just wanted to go through and highlight a few things before we have some additional discussion. The way this is structured is the first grouping are funds being requested of the county out of our general basic dollars. And then the next group of funding is from local option sales tax. And then the last group of funding is public health, which is strictly Mary Greeley Home Health Services. So under the general funds, we have under Heartland Senior Services, so starting on line 41, you'll see there where they are requesting no dollars for congregate meals, as we had just discussed earlier. But then their request for mobile meals or home-delivered meals is up significantly to make up for that difference and to also show where their efforts are going to be made with regards to the nutrition program. On line 51, we have a new agency within the asset process. It's called Iowa ABLE Foundation. They are based here in Ames, but they provide services statewide. And they are asking for a couple of services through asset. One is financial coaching, and the other one is micro-lending. And I do want to note on the micro-lending part, I am consulting with Lisa Markley in the auditor's office as to whether or not tax dollars can go towards a program like that. And so she's reaching out to the state auditor's office to get some information on that. It's not that it's the program is doing anything wrong. It's just how it's structured and whether or not public funds can be used in this manner. Right now, the Iowa ABLE Foundation gets grants in order to sustain that program. So we're just going to have more discussion on that through the asset process and through the hearing process coming up in January. If you go to line 59 under Lutheran Services in Iowa, school-based mental health services, it's a program that LSI has been providing and has historically been funded by DCAT. It's a new request in the asset process this in fiscal year 18. So that is why it's showing up here on our spreadsheet. They are asking all funders, with the exception of GSB, for funding for this. The majority of it is through United Way in the region.
It's currently a $100,000 program with the request before us of
$5,000. If you jump down to line 65, it's MICA's, or 64, it's MICA's dental clinic. And I wanted just to note that this $12,370 is the contract amount for fiscal year 18, or fiscal year 17. But if you recall, in fiscal year 16, they came to United Way in the county for additional dollars to help with their operational costs. And this board did approve $35,000 for fiscal year 16 for those operational costs. United Way had also approved that amount, and then I believe Mary Greeley funded them $15,000. So we just continue to see an increase.
Right, but help me if I'm not mistaken here, Deb. I believe when this board approved the $35,000, part of the rationale behind it was they were in the process of taking a look at all their systems and figuring out how they were going to be sustainable on the longer term. And I firmly believe that it was not the intent of that $35,000 was intended, okay, the way you get sustainable is continue to request this $35,000 from the county every year. But yet that appears to me to be what's happening here.
Right. Yeah, and we did talk about at that time that request came forward about it being a one-time provision of dollars. So, and I know that MICA had been tracking several of their processes and reporting out how sustainable the dental clinic would be in the long term. It's very much a utilized service. They have a full-time dentist. The requests for fiscal year 18 are on the rise for all the funders. But we will definitely be digging in with MICA at their hearing as to what they're seeing as a sustainability in the long term.
And Rick, this was a topic of considerable discussion at one of the recent Mike board meetings regarding the dental clinic, and it was determined at that time there was a definite need to request an increase, particularly as it related to the dental clinic, as Deb is addressing. And I know Arlene would be more than happy, or to have either her or representative come and share some additional information with the board about where they are. The person in their tracking system that they did bring on board has truly been a tremendous cost savings, an opportunity for them to be able to receive proper billing for some of the services that are being done. But it was determined, and I think I even raised the question at that point in time. I said, if under the current scenario, what is the likelihood that the dental clinic could be sustainable? And they said it would be very difficult for that to basically happen, you know, knowing the number of clients that are to be served and the overall operation of this. And then if it went away, there would be no dental services to meet the clientele in this particular area. So I think it would be helpful for the new board for you guys to maybe invite Arlene at some point, just kind of give you a little update on where you are and with the dental clinic and so forth.
Absolutely, 100%. Wayne, I do want to let Asset complete its work right before we start to weigh in specifically. Deb, I don't mean to cut off anything other specific you want to go through, but the real numbers that we're looking at here is, in terms of general fund dollars, we're looking at a request of 18% increase. Yeah. And the reality is, it's hard for me to see, and that's not for this board to decide. That's going to be our new board when we start talking about budgets, and we'll have to give Deb some kind of target of what she can take back to Asset. But it's hard to find a way that we can go with an 18% increase year over year, especially when you go back and look, and we've increased, well, we increased 10% last year, and I think it was close to 10 or 12% the year before. I mean, we've seen substantial increases every year in this. I believe we're going to see another substantial increase. I'm just not sure that it's going to be the full 18%, and the new board is going to have to give Deb that direction to take back to Asset as they start to make their final. So this is the request that's coming from the different agencies. Then Asset is going to make a final recommendation based on what we presume to be available dollars.
Right. Okay.
And again, I think it's important to note that these are estimated requests for ongoing operations. It does not necessarily mean that they will receive what they're requesting. But if they need to give a compelling argument to Asset and the funders about the program and so forth to look at how that will mesh up.
But 100%. Absolutely. The agencies are doing exactly what they're supposed to do now.
Yeah.
Now Asset is doing its due diligence to figure out how it all works, but the board's role, and it's going to be the new board's role in early January, is to give them some direction to take back to Asset on what kind of available funds, not where those funds go necessarily, but what kind of available funds there are for Asset, which will make recommendations on the allocation.
And I'm going to jump down now to local option funding. We've just got, again, on line 116, Heartland not requesting funds for congregate meals, but their request for home-delivered meals is up. And then youth and shelter services, line 131, summer enrichment services there. That's not a new program to Asset, but it is a new request of the county, and that's the program that is in partnership with United Way that Shannon referred to earlier during her presentation. So that's a request that's headed our way. So the total amount for local option funding went up almost 28% there, from $16,000 to 20,479 in requests.
And just from a sense of history, local option, the county's contribution of local option for years had been $15,000. And we raised that last year, if I'm not mistaken, Devin, just correct me if I'm mistaken, we raised that last year for the first time, yeah, I think in a long time, from $15,000 to $16,000.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, would be the public health funding that goes to Mary Greeley Medical Center. It's down for the request in 2018, and that is due to not requesting or not utilizing dollars for Meals on Wheels. Again, that's going to fall within the Heartland Senior Service.
Right, but it's a shift of public health funds into general funds.
Yes, yes. So our totals are there at the bottom. The grand total of all the funds being requested in fiscal year 18 is just a little over $1.1 million. So overall 12% increase.
Right. But again, this board, and I'm going to be doing this a lot over the next 6 weeks, this board needs to pay attention to the different silos that those dollars are coming out of. So it's a 12.5% increase, but that's coming from three different places, and it's hard. And to me, the Meals on Wheels is a great example. So yeah, just $20,000 in the public health funds that we're talking about taking out and putting back in the general basic. And that sounds great. It doesn't impact the absolute bottom line, but it does create some issues in terms of where the dollars come from and ultimately how they're flowing through. And so we just need to keep that in mind as we work our way through this.
Correct.
No action really required from us today other than we're just receiving information for the first
receiving
time.
Information, and then we'll refer it on to that first board meeting in January, then to discuss what we're looking at budgetarily for fiscal year 18.
Yeah, and by then we're going to have a lot more of our numbers put together so that, and it's going to be the new board's responsibility the first time we sit down together to really come up with some targets of what's acceptable, what an acceptable level of increase, and I'll say increase because we're not going to stay the same and we're sure not going down, what an acceptable level of increase is, and is the 18%, and I'm looking at the general when I say 18%, is the 18% a reasonable kind of increase for us to be able to absorb this year, and we're just going to have to dig into it and go through it. Let's acknowledge that we received this initial information. Marty, you'll make that motion?
I would move the acceptance of the information provided to the board today from asset for asset spending.
Second.
Yep, so we got a motion to just accept this information. We're not taking any action on it. We're going to take action really early in January. We may need to look at the schedule to see, make sure we're getting it done in a timely manner so that asset can continue their work.
Right.
I hadn't even thought this through yet that we needed to do it that way.
It'll be January 3rd. I'll have it.
Yep. Perfect.
Okay.
Chief.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb. Next item is discussion consideration of agreement between Story County and Springstead Incorporated for classification and compensation study at $4,745. Alyssa Wignall. Alyssa, start by giving us the history of where we were 5 years ago and how we got into this request today.
Sure. So back in 2011-2012, the county contracted with Springstead to come in. We had not had a plan update for a very long time, I think 20 years.
And that's simply looking at what our county employees are paid for the services they render and how that compares to other entities around the state, I think. We didn't go outside of Iowa,
Iowa.
And yep. Remind me what that original assessment cost us.
Sure. Back when we did that, we paid Springstead just a little over $42,000. Now, take into consideration, they designed a new comp plan for us. That also included updating all of our job descriptions. We had 103 classifications at that point that had not been updated on a regular basis. They did that. We also incorporated a performance management piece. So there were a lot of pieces in that contract that we had with Springstead. But they also did that salary survey.
And one of the things I recall when they did that salary survey 5 years ago was a recognition, and it would have been me and Wayne and Paul at that point, that this was something that we're going to have to dig into every 5 years or so just to make sure that we were still on track with what was going on around us.
Correct. I take a look at it on an annual basis. Whenever when I bring a recommendation to the board for the next fiscal year, salary ranges, we take a look at, we do some small salary surveys with other entities. I look at what they are moving. I think in the past, how the county had administered their compensation plan is that they would just take the cost of living that was approved by the board and move that compensation plan by that percentage. That's not really giving you an accurate picture of what the market is, rated for that position. So we don't necessarily, or I have not made a recommendation to the board to only move that compensation schedule based on what the board approves for our cost of living. So best practices is every 5 to 7 years. I think 7 is kind of long. I prefer to be a little more proactive than reactive in this situation. As you can tell by what we paid in 2012, if you need to redo your whole comp plan, it's a lot bigger financial piece than just doing a survey and updating it every 5 or 6 years.
I know that when you and I discussed the possibility of you contacting a couple of entities that provided this kind of work, I know I expected it to be a much greater dollar figure, and in fact it was with some of the other entities that you contacted, than $4,700.
Correct. Springstead actually designed a plan specifically for Story County, so to have another entity come in, they can do that survey piece, but they won't necessarily, at least the one or two consultants that I contacted, they won't interpret that data for us based on our compensation plan. They would leave that up to us. So they would, when another consultant comes in to do that, they're looking to create a plan for you. So I reached out to Springstead, and actually this came in significantly less than what I thought it would. But this is just the salary survey piece. They are going to take our positions. We did remove, we only have about 25 positions on this plan anymore. This would only be for those positions on our comp plan. This does not include any union positions. This does not include the non-union positions that are on the pay matrix was approved last July. The numbers did go down. They will take a look at the scoring. We have had a few changes. I have made recommendations to the board, and they have approved changes to that comp plan based on, we did prepare for the final rule for the exempt salary level, which has been postponed, but we did kind of make a few adjustments to our schedule for that. So they're just going to take a look at that, see what other entities are doing, and then make recommendations based on that.
And with the changes we've had, employment rise, new bargaining unit, taking many of our pay plan employees, taking many of our employees to a pay plan, it makes sense to me that we would start again. The other thing I would mention is, and just help me with this, I believe this is money that we put in the budget for this fiscal year that's available to utilize in this way.
We do. We have in the board's budget, we do have a contractual services line item that we utilize for any consultants for, ACA, bargaining, anything like that. We do have money in the budget this year to do it. I had originally thought it would come in a lot higher, so I was getting figures for to put in the budget. But I would like the board to consider doing this now, getting it done prior to the beginning of next fiscal year. So that's why I did place it on the agenda today.
Questions for Alyssa?
Again, when you see your listing, the out-of-pocket expenses, do they give you a guesstimate about what that is?
They don't think they'll exceed $900.
Okay.
So I did.
Have a range.
Correct.
In other words. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
They don't intend. If you read through the actual what it says, mm-hmm. They like to do stuff remotely as much as possible instead of coming on site. They will have one on site visit,
okay.
But we do a lot over email, phone. It doesn't require the consultant to be here for multiple visits.
And same company, but different consultant.
Correct.
That we use.
Correct. Sharon Clump was the consultant on it last year. She still works for Springstead. She's just not in the classification and comp section.
Okay. Other thoughts?
No. He ran on this in 2010. I was always surprised that the county had not put itself in the position that it had defined job duties and a pay system other than they were using a chain linkage to like the CPI or something like that, which is really not budgeting in a way that I would support. And that this is just something, this is just a refreshment of something that you need to revisit on a time-to-time basis. You provide the funds to do it. I look forward to seeing what they've got to say. That said, the legislature is going to negotiate Chapter 20 here this winter. As the new year comes up, I think we will have a brand new.
Yeah, it could be a new playing field there, but this doesn't apply.
I'm just saying, I think we will find ourselves going into a new circumstance and situation in the new year. But I support this in the fact that it's just something you want to know according to the way you run your operation, and if there's anything that we might not have caught, but I think we've done, in the time that I've been paying attention to it, that you have done the right thing, and I look forward to seeing what they guys say this time.
Okay. Good. Thank you. If there's nothing else, I'd sure take a motion of some kind of action.
I would move to consider the agreement between Story County and Springstead Incorporated for classification and compensation study at $4,745 plus any out-of-pocket expenses.
Second.
Got a motion to approve the agreement between Springstead and Story County to do the salary survey. Any further discussion? Chief?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Thanks, Alyssa.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. No agency reports today. Departmental reports, county outreach and special projects quarterly report. Leanne Harder.
Morning, Leanne.
Hi, Leanne.
Love these graphics.
Special day today, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't believe that.
You want to tell us why it's a special day, Leanne, or we just want to guess?
45 and holding.
I like what Wayne said.
Okay.
My mom had her first and only child 40-some years ago today. I almost said the year, actually.
Yeah.
Let me catch yourself.
Good morning. I have just a few brief slides on what I've been doing. Actually, you pretty much have known what I've been doing because I've been in front of the board pretty often the past few months. What I really want to focus on more than that is my proposed work program for some ideas from you all so I can build it in and bring it back to you at the beginning of the year, too. Definitely a C2C plan. The implementation has been a focus of mine over the past nearly 2 years. Well, it has been 2 years, if you consider the RFP drafting and release of that consultant selection. Now we're definitely through the implementation and adoption implementation matrix well on the way to the implementation, which we'll see in the work program and as well as the capital improvements plan.
I think very few people truly understand how much time and energy you put in to the creation. And there were many more. This isn't intended to take credit away from anybody else because we have a lot of people that work really, really hard, but none that spent more time putting the comprehensive plan together. And we wouldn't be where we are today in C2C without you. So that needs to be acknowledged and noted.
Thank you. It was definitely a labor of love because I've said very many times I'm a planning geek, and I was very excited to see us get to that stage. So the proposed work program for next year, I'll go over here in the next slide. I don't have an update on floodplain. I will note that the board received the CRS plaque last week. I'm going to put that in addition to some other materials together to have at the legislative forum this Friday at Conservation about our floodplain management program. Also, I am still waiting to get the final inspection scheduled for the pipeline. Those were scheduled for a couple weeks ago Monday when we got our first snowfall, and really in the condition my foot was in at that point, in addition to the weather, we had postponed them. Work is done, just waiting final inspection. So the next report you see from me will have at least 20 more floodplain permits that have been issued. So just the update on that. Any just general questions before I delve into the work program?
No. None.
Okay.
And let me underscore, as you start this, and we need to go through this as first acknowledgement from the board as we continue to talk about it, this will be something that will be set, amended, adjusted, and talked about by the new board regularly. So we've got a new supervisor joining us whose passion and expertise lies in communication and community outreach. And what we need to recognize is there are some budgetary implications as part of this work program, and those are going to have to happen very early in the year, January or February. But a lot of this is going to adjust based on the new voice of the new board and what kind of direction we go. So starting point only.
Thank you first. And the kind of the calendar items or the calendar deadlines, those are targets with known flexibility because the primary job duty I have is other projects as assigned, or the duties as assigned.
Does that ever come up for you?
No, never. So I appreciate that. It keeps every day a little bit different. I'm going to just go into the capital improvements plan. We're right where we are, should be for heading into next year. We're reviewing projects right now. A draft plan will be coming to the board shortly after the beginning of the year with the budget work sessions. So the four action items on that are listed. So I have major work program items and the specific tasks, and I'm not going to delve into the weeds because you each had a copy of these. It does get pretty detailed. And there are a couple additional items that were not noted that I'll get to when I get to that. But I'll just take each section and questions on the capital improvements plan.
I think I'll just start here. This is a program that we put in place. I think this is our third or fourth year now. Fourth year. Really, I found it to be a really beneficial tool to the Board of Supervisors because it allows those larger purchases to be thought out for a longer period of time, and for the board, who is the funder for these things, to be able to weigh the pros and cons of multiple different areas that money could be spent and really have some great input. Clearly, this is a budgetary item. This is something that the new board, is going to have to take action on relatively quickly, and so the primary work here is going to happen the first couple months of the year.
Communications plan is the next one. This is probably, of all of these, the one that will be most in flux, just because the communication plan does not get approved by the board until probably mid-January or early February traditionally. So I went back and looked at what was approved last year to put in some target. I know there are some things that we'll be doing the first of the year. The annual report, I'm working on that right now, and we'll present to the board. State of Community, I know will still be happening in January. So I put those in, and then I'm sure there'll be additional to add.
And lots of flexibility within this communication plan.
Probably the biggest one on that one, though, is the county website redesign, something to start looking at towards the beginning of the fiscal year, new fiscal year. And that will be hand-in-hand with the county's IT department, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've already put in some of the foundational work there, and now it's going to move on, and like you say, probably early in the second quarter of 2017, move on to really start to make some decisions about what kind of direction we head. Ultimately, it's going to be the Board of Supervisors collectively who will make any of those decisions, but I would expect that we would have one of the Board of Supervisors who will be intimately involved with every step of that process.
Really exciting one I do want to note on this one is this is the 2017 is the 50th anniversary of the groundbreaking of this building. So hand-in-hand with county government month, I'd like to propose that we do a groundbreaking re-ceremony to celebrate that. So that's what that 50th
anniversary. We got gold shovels somewhere, too.
We do. And I think Cal's working on getting them appropriately placed. Next one is the Cornerstone Capstone Comprehensive Plan. So I took a look at the C2C plan implementation matrix and everything that fell into the Board of Supervisors' purview, mostly, there were a couple exceptions, I made the assumption that it would fall under my responsibility to make sure at least the connections are made and brought forward to the board for appropriate decision making.
Yeah, let's just underscore that now. That so I completely agree with your assessment there that if it's something on the C2C that falls to the Board of Supervisors, you will have a fundamental role in making sure that it's getting handled. That does not necessarily mean that it's going to be your responsibility, soup to nuts, to get those things handled.
Okay. Yeah, great. And there are some that definitely will fall right to me. If you look at the last one on that page, the conducting annual available lands analysis, that's something I do every year. And sometimes it's brought forward to the board, but sometimes it's just operational. But it definitely is something will be brought forward this year because it is, I highlight in the C2C plan. Next one deals with Connect Iowa, and these have been on the work program for several, going on 2 years now. I have had some great discussions with some local school district officials on the technology summit. I'll be wrapping up the vertical assets inventory and then jumping right into the local policies evaluation. So these will be definitely, I would think, finalized this coming calendar year, and then we'll reevaluate as needed. Same with the KUPCOG. The annual review will begin in July, and so a bunch of items that you see finalized for this fiscal year will likely be replaced with other items for next fiscal year and next calendar year. So as you said when we started, Rick, this is in flux. My work program, I like to have the guidance, but I know it definitely will change. Going on to floodplain management program and the CRS program, because I do serve as the CRS coordinator for Story County. The time frames are associated with these. A lot of these do have to be met so that we make sure we're prepared for the annual audit that comes with the CRS program. I generally know that will occur in July or August, but it's a little bit like a week ahead of time. The ISO specialist notifies me, and I need to have the paperwork prepared. So, but a lot of these are things that we already do. It's just making sure that they're done annually. Oh, sorry. Public information officer. Met with Melissa Spencer, and we had some ideas of things that could be necessitated or looked upon to take it to the next level. One is, and I've been kind of doing this in the background, press release templates that are pre-populated. If we have to invoke a PIO for Story County, that we can just, whoever's in that position can find them and go. Reviewing the need for a joint information center, and this is something Keith has talked about for several years. If we had an emergency to magnitude that we have EOC activated in this building, we have press coming into this building, where do they go? And identifying what's necessary for that joint information center.
So yeah, and let's just underscore that. So we're talking about PIO not in relation to the day-to-day contact between Story County and the public in this case. We're talking about it in terms of when the Emergency Operations Center is activated. The Board of Supervisors has got other responsibilities if that thing becomes activated and who we have as our primary contact at that point.
That's a good clarification. Miscellaneous items. A couple of things that were not on here that with what you have as a draft is the Red Cross blood drives. We actually have two scheduled for calendar year 2017. And then one of my goals for the next year and a half is to actually become certified as a certified economic developer. So I have that exam prep. That would be ongoing throughout every month. I've already started that too. I'm studying for the exam. Do you have any questions on miscellaneous items? Okay, next one is urban renewal area. And that is what we just finalized with our fifth project. But I do have in the second phase the Iowa State Research Park funding, talking about that, likely starting in February, at least having the discussion. But then when the board adopted new revisions to the policies last year, we adopted a new process, and that starts with the training session that would be held in February. So that's what the annual training session is. First time we've done that. I hope that
which I think, I don't know which ones of our communities will participate in that, but I think it's outstanding that we're going to offer that to them.
So again, this is your opportunity to put other things on the plate, and then I will bring it back. It probably will be the 10th of January. That will be the official action by the board for sending me forward for the next 2017.
Marty, questions or comments?
I am always amazed how much we put on her plate, and I see the success we have in regards to the diversity of projects she has to shepherd through the system. I think the CCC is becoming something that people are comfortable out in the county, both acknowledging, questioning, and speaking to. I think that's a win for the board, previous board, glad to be part of it today. I don't think I want to give her any more to do. I think she's got enough right there.
I like the other duties as assigned, and I just want to say here, Story County is really, really lucky to have you. We appreciate everything you put in. We appreciate the task you take on. I really appreciate the flexibility that you're going to have here the next few months as we really figure out what directions we're headed. So, Wayne, anything to add?
Marty's probably summed it up just quite well in that. I said last week after Leanne and Keith had presented to the Iowa State Association of Counties, was another example of her expertise and volume. And as she acknowledged, she's going to have to learn to say no because she's going to be getting requests from other counties to come in and go talk to other boards and supervisors about KUCOM and other kinds
sure,
of things.
But if the price is right,
and,
man.
Well, yeah. And this might be where through Skype or some other medium to do some of that rather than actually having to travel. But she's going to be in demand because of the outstanding presentation that was presented. And so it's truly a remarkable thing. This is one of the highlights when I look back over the last 6 years. We've had several, but this again, strategic planning, the communication plan, moving forward the C2C plan, and all the different things that Leanne and other departments have worked together to move Story County forward when we start looking at 2035 and what Story County will look like as a board. Just being part of that was really an exciting opportunity and something that I take a great deal of pride in, just being at the table and being part of the forward thinking that we've done. But this, to me, is another example of having a person with her planning background and so forth who are willing to step in and look at some of the things that we had talked about years ago, but we didn't have the components in place to actually move them forward. And we now have that, and I'm hopeful that the future boards will continue to be able to expand and build on some of the outstanding work that is already done.
Yeah, well, and Wayne, I know you remember this. Marty, you weren't here. Creating this position and populating the original task list was not an easy conversation. It was not a universally popular conversation or decision. I think that any fair look at what the county has gained from this would be really, really positive. I mean, you look at it now and you don't know how she has done everything she has done, but when you think about that many of these items were not getting done before, and the ones that were getting done were the in addition to either your role as planning and zoning director or somebody else taking it on. But like I say, many of them weren't getting it done. And it was really an outside-the-box decision to get it done. And we're so fortunate that Leanne has done with it what she's done. But it's another example of how Story County continues to be a forward-looking, forward-thinking kind of county. And I hope that continues. I expect that that's going to continue. So, anything else? Thank you so much, and happy birthday.
Happy birthday. You want me to sing to you?
No, that's okay.
I'm really good. Lionel Richie voice and all that.
I bet you are really good. Let's pass. No other reports today. Public forum number 2 is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are not on today's agenda. Board can't take any action due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we might do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us today? Seeing no one moving the microphone, liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne.
Very quickly, I did have a conference call with Carla yesterday. She just had just a couple of thoughts. She was just giving me a little bit of an update between the contract with Ali Ball and Unity Point. It seems that several groups out there under the new format of the MCOs and are looking to piggyback on some of the larger organizations through contract and bidding for services and so forth. And she believes that the contract that is currently in place that has now been approved by Unity Point and Arley Ball will have some real benefits for Story County. We have some similar contracts with Mary Greeley currently right now and some of the crisis stabilization in other areas. So she will keep us in tune with that, but she feels that this could turn out to be a win-win for us as we move forward. So I'm sure she will update you all and the new board as she moves forward as more information comes in on that.
Super. Thanks, Wayne. Marty?
I have an ongoing conversation with the county ME in conjunction with Keith Morgan and Emergency Management dealing with mass casualties scenario here in Story County. It's an unpleasant thought, but we need to have something as Keith seeks to refresh his policies. This is the money's turn to. It has a lot of potentially dark corners in it, but we need answers and something sitting on the table that we hope we have, and it gets very dusty.
Well, we seem to have a really good medical examiner.
We do.
I appreciate you digging into that.
We do. I checked in. I have a contact, Paul Tootin. I graduated with a gentleman that's one of the primary investigators for Johnson County. I had worked with the doctor in his time there, and he had nothing but raving praise, so we are well served in Story County with the gentleman we have in place.
Outstanding.
That said, we have Drew, Leanne, and something else Leanne does is we had a meeting yesterday with a developer over in Colo. And we will be having a follow-up meeting today, and that is looking like it will bear fruit in 2017.
And that's a housing development.
That's a housing development in a corner of the county that, with the potentiality, offer the starters all the way up into some pretty moderately higher-end homes that gives that community the chance to expand its tax base and provide for its school and its community. So it's a success that I think that we can replicate without outside the county, and I can't give enough credit to the fact that the city council and the city fathers have turned to the Leanne and Drew as being partners at the table. They will not get their name in the plaque, but they should if ever the plaque is made. We'll see how that goes. I'm having a conference with Carla here tomorrow in regards to the ongoing successful implementation of Project Search within ARC. Look forward to hearing that they will be progressing here in 2017, and I would compliment that group on having success at Ines Grove and getting that facility brought into being something that they can use.
Outstanding. Thank you. Announcements from supervisors. Back to you, Wayne.
Very quickly, tomorrow I will be attending the Iowa State Association of County Board of Directors, and this will be my final meeting with them. I do want to call your attention to this coming Friday. I'm going to be out of state, but the Central Iowa Juvenile Detention Board meeting has been changed to 10 o'clock rather than starting at 9:30. Do you know if the conservation legislative thing is still going to be going? And
I'm going to be at conservation, and I'm going to try to get from there to Central Iowa Juvenile Detention, but I'm not positive I'm going to be able to get from one to the other, and we're just going to have to count on getting updated if we miss that.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Those are the only things that I had in mind.
Super. Thanks, Wayne. Marty, any announcements?
All I would have to say is happy birthday to Leanne, and I'd like to offer up an early happy birthday to my colleague here, who will be getting AARP mail now that we can compare up here in the office.
It's nice to know that groundbreaking on this building and me are about the same time.
I have nothing else.
I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.